So I am recording again. So the first question of discussion is, what is meant by saying that we can learn things about God by looking at creation? Are there any volunteers who would like to share what your group came up with? Perhaps a table with Susan? I have an answer that I can give you, but I'm just curious to hear any initial thoughts that you might have came up with. Any takers? No? So, we talked about causality at the beginning of our presentation. And what I didn't fully emphasize is that nothing happens without a cause, but that was implicit in the understanding that God is the uncreated and he creates you and me through the act of creation. So God causes you and me, and God causes everything. Therefore, the argument that says all of creation is contingent relies on this principle of causality. So the world we see must have been caused by something. And we did mention that we can reason from the existence of different effects that we see in the world to God, who is the cause of all things. That's the end that's proportioned to us as human beings. It's natural to us to be able to get to that point. But we can also see that the world contains things that are good and beautiful, living and intelligent. And if God created things with these perfections, God must also have these perfections, but, in a much greater way than we do. Why? Because God is... Go ahead.
Because he's God.
That's right. God is infinite. God is eternal. God is omnipotent, omniscient. He possesses all of the perfections that he has bestowed on us in creating us. So what we possess in a finite capacity, God possesses in the fullest possible way that we can even imagine. Okay, so that's the first question. Second question. Why does the church teach that the formulae of the creed are unchangeable? Well, if we think about that God is not changeable, right? If he's necessary, he cannot be something else. He has to exist. He has to be. He's what we call immutable. He cannot be changed. But we change, of course, right? We grow in our faith. We get closer to God. We grow in the virtues and in our acts of prayer and devotion. So why then, if the creed is the profession of faith, must the words remain unchangeable? And there was a question here that we'll get to about another translation of the creed, but I want to address this first. Go ahead.
God is truth, and truth is unchangeable.
Mm-hmm. Excellent observation. Truth is unchangeable. So if the creed is the profession of faith that is unchangeable, the words and the formulae that signify the realities, as the Catechism pointed out, have been worked out by the church. It's an authority, it's magisterium, as Father David mentioned. And so we as Catholics, in our submission of our intellect and our will to this act of faith, profess those words without changing them. And so those words that we highlighted in the creed slide with consubstantial, begotten, not made, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, the creedal statements about the incarnation, the cover salvation history, those are said in the way that they are to reflect the truth of the reality that is present to us. All right, last question. So what, based on what we've discussed tonight, how does...
Before you go to the third question, can you go back to the second one? Can you explain...
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, this was the question about the translation in the Catechism. It says, we believe, I believe the word consubstantial is not there. So in 2011, there was a new translation of the Mass that was put out in the Creed as well. And it was updated to be more close to the Latin translation. So if you were to actually go back and look at the Latin, or even the Greek, if you have the ability to understand that, you would see that the formula that we have today is more precise and accurate to the original. So that's the reason for that. But the Catechism was originally published in the 90s, before that translation was made. I'm told if you look in the outlines book of the Catholic faith here, you will find the correct translation. Also, if you go to that website, Catholic Answers, they have it as well. Okay, third and last question. From everything that we've discussed tonight, how does one grow in faith? I.e., how does one grow in their knowledge of God? What do you guys think?
Prayer is one.
Prayer is one, absolutely.
Reading the scripture.
Yes, great. We're going to come back to that in a second. Go ahead.
We briefly touched on before you got to the part that we're doing now. We're talking about, in Grow Up, we're talking about how where the purpose of man is to know and see God, but also in seeing God, we are that God is also trying to see us. And the way to grow in faith is to allow yourself to be in a situation where God, in fact, like you said, in prayer or in reading the scripture, we're talking about the first question of like looking at God's creation, being out of the world, away from the distractions of the world, just you and with creation. So just taking the time to grow in faith by letting God.
Yes, excellent. Yeah, God revealing himself to you. And time spent with him. You mentioned scripture, and at the dinner before we started the class, someone pointed out that, you know, they read a lot of things about the saints and about God, and that, but you know, that they also recognize that there's the need for the relationship, the friendship with God, you know, and so am I reading too much? Am I not taking the time to pray? And I just wanted to kind of emphasize to the whole group that our reading, the scriptures, our reading about the saints and about the divine elevates our mind to God. And so even the time spent, you know, half an hour or so reading that chapter on the saints, it's not time that is not communicated to God. God reveals himself to you, perhaps in those words. And you might have that light of illumination come to you at the end, you know, and you grasp a truth that you hadn't thought about before. Just wanted to emphasize that. There was a question from Liz about degrees of grace, because we talked about degrees of faith. Well, actually, I don't think I used that word, but it is true. Liz is right about degrees of faith. That degrees of grace is another question. It's not entirely off topic from the discussion tonight, but it's worth addressing, and that there is an understanding that God can give more grace to some than he does to others. And when we say God gives his grace, we're saying that God is bestowing his power into you, onto you. You know, his love for you is affected through his grace. And now, so we can merit grace and our reception of the sacraments and different virtuous acts. We can dispose ourselves and receive grace in those ways, right? So when we go to Mass and we receive the Eucharist, we receive the graces that come from that sacrament, because the sacraments effect grace, very important. But we're also, we're given graces at other moments in our life. Then there's all kinds of distinctions that we can make about grace, but we're not going to do that right now. But there is something to your question, Liz, about more grace in others than not. And sometimes that can be hard to see, you know. It's like, this person is the most charitable person I've ever met. Look at Mother Teresa, for instance. Does she understand the technical things about our faith and all the distinctions? God gave her the grace not to have to worry about that. She saw what was needed and what was called to. So the saints are kind of one example, because you look at St. Thomas Aquinas, and if you read some of his texts, they read like very scientific texts, you know. He's very precise, and he draws, you know, a distinction from this to that so that you can reason through the argument and come to the truth. But then we see the other saints who say other, who show us another kind of another way, so to speak. So, any last questions before we close?
I just want to mention and talk about creation. The person that started the Big Bang Theory is a priest. Mm-hmm. I don't remember his name. But can you say something about that?
What was his name?
George
Lemaitre. Yes, I don't know. I do know, yes, that it was a priest, but I do not know much about. I get the idea of the theory.
Creation came from something, basically, is what he's saying.
Right, which is why it's not right. But we could get into that. That's a bigger question we can discuss maybe at the end after we close. Any last questions?
Uh-huh. So she's got the fullness of
grace. Yep, that's right. And we're going to get into that when we say that she's immaculately conceived. Conceived without original sin.
If you were God, you were going to have your mother be perfect anyway, wouldn't you?
All right. Anything else?
Yeah.
All right, I want to close in the act of faith, which we recited, I think, in our first week. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh my God, I firmly believe that you are one God and three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because in revealing them, you can neither deceive nor be deceived. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Father.